Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. Well, having finished our long series on the Christian life, learning Christ and living for His glory, we are going to take a break and cover some topical issues in the evening for the next couple of months. And tonight we're going to talk about the heresy of neo-orthodoxy and the making of the coward James Comey. I've been meaning to preach this for several months. This is more of an apologetical sermon, a polemical sermon. It is, I believe, very important for the church, as well as for Christians to understand the politics of the day. I hope this sermon especially helps pastors and Christian leaders, as well as believers of every age, to understand better the evils of false religion and the dangerous consequences of false teachers, of false doctrine, the snare and the heresy and the evil influence of what is known as neo-orthodoxy. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16, Jesus, of course, warns the disciples, saying, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Now, I've preached many sermons on this passage, on this subject, especially in our series on apologetics several years ago. The danger of false teachers and false doctrine, though, is a continual threat to the church, as well as to the nation and society. False doctrine breeds sin, idolatry, false religion, disobedience to God's commandments, and 100 other evils, not only in the church, but in society at large. Now, we've seen this many times before, especially in the many character studies that we have looked on over the years with regard to politics or the culture of the church, deviant forms of Christianity and cults. We've seen the idolatry of Roman Catholicism and the sermon "The Pope is Antichrist." The atheism and the making of Stephen Paddock, if you recall, when I preached on the Obama agenda in his administration, the Obama Nation of Desolation. We looked at the liberalism behind the making of crooked Hillary Clinton, and then several other sermons like battling broad evangelicalism, the apostasy of the modern church. Well, tonight we're going to look very carefully at the snare of neo-orthodoxy and the making of what I call the coward James Comey. I think many people at once thought that James Comey was a man of great virtue and integrity, that he rose up through the ranks of the Justice Department, the FBI, because of supposedly a stand for justice, the rule of law and integrity, because Comey has a long history as a U.S. attorney. He became the Deputy Attorney General under President Bush. And so a lot of Republicans and a lot of Christians thought that he was a man of integrity. Well, then in 2013, he was promoted to the directorship of the FBI under Obama, even though many thought that he was an establishment Republican and would honor law and justice. Now, what many people don't know is that Comey has a long religious background. He grew up Roman Catholic, but that he turned Protestant sometime while in college at William & Mary, where he got a degree in religious studies. And there was heavily influenced by the theology of neo-orthodoxy, which was very popular in intellectual circles at the time. Many that rejected conservative evangelicalism, rejected Reformed theology, but they didn't like the classical liberalism of the World One era. And so they modified. This is neo-orthodoxy. This was very popular in intellectual circles at the time after World War I. Yale Divinity School, Union Theological Seminary, Princeton Seminary, even Fuller Theological Seminary in California. These are all bastions of neo-orthodoxy, which we'll talk about, because it had a formidable influence upon Comey's life and thinking, as well as his decisions as the head of the FBI. We're going to see tonight how diabolical and evil neo-orthodoxy is on the church, on the nation, and how it had a formidable influence on James Comey and everything that is coming out. What's striking to know is that Comey attends a United Methodist church. and has for years with his wife and family in Virginia. He even teaches Sunday school at times, professes to be a Christian. And what is striking, though, has fallen in with all the evil and the diabolical corruption of the Obama administration. How is that possible? He's fallen in such a clear pattern of deceit, hypocrisy, and selfish ambition, cloaking not only his own sins and crimes, but also that of the Obama administration and crooked Hillary Clinton. Because the answer is in Comey's religious background and his theological convictions. It's interesting that even Christianity Astray magazine had a recent article entitled "The Theology Beneath the Trump and Comey Conflict," which is kind of interesting, but really very superficial. Doesn't really get to the heart of the issue. So people should understand, Christians especially, how did Comey, who once had a reputation of integrity and justice, fall into such great evil and compromise with the devil, with the Obama administration? How could he cloak over such corruption with the Clinton Foundation and fall prey to a complete lack of justice, law, and order as the head of the FBI? Thomas Watson rightly said, "Heresy is the forerunner of idolatry, of wickedness, and rebellion to God. These are the fruits of false teachers and the effects of false religion in all those who pervert the gospel by outright lies and distortions of the truth." Well, we will see that this is actually the root of everything that has transpired. Now, this past week, there's obviously been a media frenzy over the former FBI director's book, his public interviews, and all of the things that have come with the media frenzy, his book, A Higher Loyalty, Truth, Lies, and Leadership. It's interesting, the title, because it's nothing but hypocrisy, really. And there have been many who have noted Comey's greed and the desire to cash in on getting fired in the political climate by calling it a higher royalty, a higher commission, greed, the selling of the book. It's more like a higher disloyalty, a higher form of moral depravity and religious hypocrisy, as we'll see. Because it's not difficult to see that Comey is a very corrupt and egotistical man who has brought untold scandal and disrepute to the FBI and to the nation. And I think many people, even among Christians in politics, were very surprised by this. How could this be that he was the head of the FBI and even once Deputy Attorney General, General under President Bush? How is he the head of the FBI under Obama and he did nothing at all to counter Obama's often illegal and corrupt policies? See, Comey's higher loyalty is not to the truth, but to lies. And it wasn't godly leadership at all what he did. His book is really just a selfish and vain attempt to cloak his lies and hypocrisy, the attempt to escape criminal prosecution for obstruction of justice in regard to the Clinton scandal, perjury, lying under oath to Congress, and 100 other felony charges with regard to the 2017 presidential campaign, the fake dossier and its use to obtain illegal warrants to spy on the Trump campaign. And we're going to talk about this because it has a wide influence, not only with politics, with media, but also with the church. It's interesting because the problem with Comey is not overt corruption like Hillary and Obama and the DNC. No, there are similarities, which we will see. But Comey was an establishment Republican, and he's like many in the Republican Party, easily swayed to evil by cowardice, double-minded, and be concerned on public opinion, liberal pressure, and by a religious and political cowardice that is at times just as ungodly and wicked as the liberal and the progressive movement. That's important to see. Where does this come from, you ask? It comes from the corrupt theology of neo-orthodoxy. This is the religious doctrine of many Roman Catholics and Protestants in the Republican Party. This is the theology often behind the Never Trumpers and many of the hypocrites within the Republican Party who are trying to thwart a conservative and Christian political and social agenda. This is the theology that is, in fact, sweeping through the broad evangelical world that rejects the authority of Scripture and accommodates Christian doctrine to theological liberalism, and it is dangerous. The cowardice and hypocrisy and all of the actions that you can see in James Comey have deep roots in the theological heresy that is known as neo-orthodoxy. This is the influence of men like Karl Barth, Reinhold Niebuhr, Rudolf Bultmann, as well as C.S. Lewis and Martin Luther King Jr. Neo-orthodoxy, a rejection of the authority of Scripture, a rejection of the truth of the gospel, a perversion of the Word of God. Now, it's an interesting fact that while Comey was at William and Mary studying religion in American society, as a matter of fact, he got a degree in religious studies. A lot of people don't know that. At that time, he wrote a history paper, his thesis, contrasting the theology of Reinhold Niebuhr with that of Jerry Falwell. Now, Comey was intrigued by both men's political activism, but obviously he sided with Niebuhr. Interesting enough, at about that same time, I was at UC Berkeley studying historical theology and political philosophy, and I wrote a paper contrasting the theology of Reinhold Niebuhr with that of Jonathan Edwards. And of course, I agreed with Edwards. And at that time, learned very well that one of the most dangerous, insidious, evil influences in the evangelical and reformed world was the damnable heresy of neo-orthodoxy. I read all of the books of Barth, of Niebuhr, of C.S. Lewis, all of them. And understanding the evil of neo-orthodoxy is essential to understand Comey's life, his politics, his career in the FBI, his cowardice and compromise, as well as the church today. And why evangelical and reformed churches and pastors and seminaries are slowly going apostate. Ideas have consequences. Neo-orthodoxy is just that, an unscriptural and ungodly compromise with heresy and modern liberalism that rejects the authority of Scripture and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it's very obvious to see the evil influence of this false doctrine on Comey if you look carefully and you read Scripture, and how it influenced him to compromise with all the corruption within the Obama administration, to drop the charge as an indictment against crooked Hillary Clinton, and then also to participate with the others in the Obama administration, the DOJ and the FBI, that tried to sabotage the presidency of Donald Trump by the fake dossier, and then to promote lies and fraud, corruption, conspiracy that he was involved in. All of the fake Russian scandal, which included obstruction of justice, conspiracy to commit fraud, the leaking of classified information, falsifying FBI reports, being an accomplice with the DNC, Obama, Loretta Lynch, and all the other criminal conspirators. He got sucked into it because of his cowardice. And think of how diabolical and how wicked now he is in lying and deceiving and making money off of his book with a media tour. At the same time, General Flynn, right, a war hero, is going bankrupt on frivolous charges of lying to the FBI. How outrageous is that? I certainly hope President Trump pardons Flynn soon or immediate. Now, thankfully, there is now a criminal referral being sent by a Republican congressman to the DOJ to prosecute Comey, to prosecute Loretta Lynch, Powers, McCabe, and all the participants involved in this conspiracy, hopefully also Obama, who tried to frame President Trump and to use the FBI, the FISA court, as a weapon in the arsenal of political opposition. Because this is a conspiracy, and it is 100 times worse than Watergate. And Christians need to see how evil it is. The politics of corruption very obviously intruded into Comey's decision on the Clinton email scandal, the Uranium One deal, the unverified dossier proffered by Clinton and the DNC, and all the corruption within the Clinton Foundation, all their obstruction of justice, their own propaganda and disinformation campaign, which all had ties to Russia. Oh, yeah, there's collusion. It's with the DNC. It's with Crooked Hillary. That's the collusion. That's the conspiracy to commit fraud that they tried to overturn the 2017 presidential election. And they should be all in jail. The Obama administration, their deep state leftovers, provided false information to a FISA court for an illegal warrant as part of a conspiracy to help Crooked Hillary win the election and then to frame President Trump. You can see that it goes from Obama to Brennan to Clapper to Lynch to Flowers to Comey to McCabe and many more. They were all involved. Nothing less than a criminal conspiracy, and praise the Lord, it is all unraveling against them. In Psalm 7, verse 14 through 16, David says, "Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceived trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own crown." This is what is happening right now with the exposing of the corruption, the fraud, the criminal conduct, and the otherwise very wicked behavior of the Obama administration. The cover-up of the Clinton scandal, the Clinton cartel, the emails, the Uranium One deal, and all their crimes against the nation, and their attempt to rig the election and accuse Trump of colluding with the Russians. Once again, God is being glorified in the downfall of the wicked. And we should pray for that. That God will expose the corruption and the evil. And we should, as it were, cast light to expose their sin and darkness, their evil. What we're watching now is the exposing of the highest level of corruption in the history of U.S. politics and the FBI. How evil is that? Because James Comey was at the center of this debacle of corruption as the head of the FBI, I think it's very important that we see how he got involved. The theological basis to Comey's decisions, corruption, his lies, his cowardice, and how he became an accomplice to the Obama administration, the DNC, and crooked Hillary Clinton. How an established Republican that professes to be a Christian, that attends church, teaches Sunday school, how did he fall into such hypocrisy and evil? Right? How did he give in to the corruption of the Obama administration, their conspiracy to exonerate crooked Hillary and to try to turn the election? Ideas have consequences, right? And so we should see how the false doctrine and the theology of neo-orthodoxy is very well suited to modern liberalism and is a curse upon the nation and the church. Because I could say this about many others in politics, in the church, at seminaries, the business world, how their theology of neo-orthodoxy produces a great deal of evil and immorality. It's very easy and it's very important here to see it with Comey because everybody's talking about it. It's national news. There's a media blitz. And you know what? I've long wanted to preach a sermon condemning the evil of neo-orthodoxy. So there are several things we want to look at this evening that together shows us the heresy of neo-orthodoxy and the making of the coward James Comey and his direct involvement in the corruption of the Obama administration and their conspiracy during the presidential election. How they tried to rig it and get Hillary off the hook so she could win. Should be clear to everybody. Right? Notice, first of all, the heresy of neo-orthodoxy. Let me say a few things about the heresy of neo-orthodoxy, the religious background to James Comey and to many in the religious and political world. Neo-orthodoxy was a theological movement that developed after World War I, in many ways an attempt of 19th century liberals to reformulate their views in relationship to the tragedy of world events, the great evil of World War I. In the light of kind of a renewed interest in the teaching of the Reformation. So they quote often the Reformers. They try to make it seem like they're following Reformed teaching, but they're not. This is just a reformulation of classical liberalism. Neo-Orthodoxy is often called the theology of crisis or dialectical theology. It is in many ways a halfway house between classical liberalism and broad evangelicalism, mainline Protestantism. Some of the leading exponents of Neo-Orthodoxy include Karl Barth, Reinhold Niebuhr, his brother Richard Niebuhr, Rudolf Bultmann, and also C.S. Lewis. Let me speak a little about each of them, because these are the main proponents. Karl Barth was a Swiss theologian that spent his career at various German schools of theology. He was the systematic theologian of the movement, who is known for his 14 volumes on church dogmatics and his commentary on the book of Romans that very well outline and explain the whole theology of New Orthodoxy. Strikingly enough, he is considered by the establishment, by liberals, and even by many evangelicals as the greatest theologian of the 20th century. I think he is the most clever heretic of the 20th century. He is as voluminous as he is dangerous and heretical. He died in 1968. And as you will see, all of these that were very influential in the Neo-Orthodox movement died in the 60s and 70s. Reinhold Niebuhr II, he is an American scholar from Union Theological Seminary. He could be seen in many ways as the moralist and the political philosopher of the group. He taught at Union Theological Seminary in New York. And his works include The Nature and Destiny of Man, Moral Man and Moral Society, The Irony of American History, and several others. He was heavily involved not only in theology, but in political philosophy and public affairs. Very influential in America as a pundit. I've read all of his books. He died in 1971. H. Richard Niebuhr can be looked upon as the historian of the movement. He's the brother of Reinhold. He taught at Yale Divinity School. He wrote books such as Christ and Culture, The Meaning of Revelation, and The Kingdom of God in America. He died in 1962. And just like the others, I read all of his books in college. Rudolf Bultmann was the more radical of them all. He was the German Lutheran scholar at the University of Marburg. He was a New Testament scholar. Wrote a number of very liberal volumes on New Testament theology, one called Jesus Christ and Mythology. He died in 1976, and like I said, he was the most radical of them all. The demythologization of the New Testament, of all Scripture, Christ was the myth that God had intended to bring life. So he speaks a lot about Christ, but it's all myth to him. Then there is, I believe, the most dangerous of them all. That's C.S. Lewis. He's the literary scholar of the bunch, certainly the most famous and popular of them all. Lewis was a British novelist, a poet, a medievalist, a literary critic, and to many stupid and ignorant people thought to be a great Christian apologist. He held academic positions at both Oxford and Cambridge. He was a close friend of the Catholic novelist G.R. Tolkien, known for The Lord of the Rings. Like Tolkien, Lewis is well known for works of fiction, The Screwtape Letters, The Chronicles of Narnia, and The Space Trilogy. But he's also well known for popular works on apologetics, such as Mere Christianity, Miracles, and the Problem of Pain. And tragically, many evangelicals and even reform scholars read him and even think that he is a valuable Christian apologist. Unbelievable. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail about the similarities and differences between these men, but they are all neo-Orthodox heretics. And let me say this, as I said before, I was in college studying historical theology. I read nearly every one of the books that these men published, every single one of them. In fact, I wrote numerous scholarly and critical papers on each of them. Barth, Niebuhr, Lewis, Bultmann, all of them. And I often got thrown out of classes for preaching against them. But I enjoyed reading them all. And I enjoyed hating them all. I hated them with a perfect hatred for their perversion of the gospel. Because I think it was what MacArthur once said about Neo-Orthodoxy. There's like 70 to 80% wine, 20 to 30% arsenic. And sometimes It's really difficult for weak and foolish Christians or those that are vain in the scholarly world to see the danger of that 20 to 30% arsenic, because that's exactly what it is. Now, I could tell you many stories about my classes and my reports on them, but these are the leaders of a movement known as neo-orthodoxy that is now widespread in churches and seminaries today in the intellectual world. They are spreading throughout broad evangelicalism. And in fact, I even hear today sometimes Reformed pastors influenced by many of these heretics as if they are Christians, and they are not. Neo-orthodoxy is basically a mixture of classical liberal theology and mainline Protestantism. It is false doctrine. It is a lie from the devil. They do not believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. They don't believe in the biblical doctrine of creation. They don't believe in the scriptural doctrine of the atonement, that Christ satisfied God's wrath on the cross as a propitiation for sin. They don't believe in the lordship of Christ. They do not believe in the abiding validity of the law of God. They don't even believe in the reality of hell and damnation. They are all antinomians in their theology, and they're heretical in their doctrine. Although they write very clever, and they even quote the church fathers and scripture and the reformers, what they say is not the same as the reformers, what the scripture and reformed confessions say. No, they mean something totally, totally different. And it's important to understand how dangerous this is. And yet these heretics are widely promoted in the church today, and often even hailed as great Christian scholars throughout seminaries and colleges alike by men like John Piper, Timothy Keller, the so-called New Calvinists that are heavily indebted to Karl Barth and C.S. Lewis for their very ungodly and unscriptural views. And as I said, I even hear men in the OPC, the PCA, Reformed denominations, ascribing great value and purpose to these heretics. Even Christian schools are stupid and ungodly to give out to children and youth the works of C.S. Lewis as if he is some kind of Christian apologist. What demonic nonsense. This is heresy and should be condemned as heresy. But this is the theological and religious background of James Comey. Christians should understand that. Now, when I was in college and seminary, I always thought that the heresy of neo-orthodoxy was the theology of geeks, dorks, effeminates, spiritual cowards, those who pretend that they're not liberal, but that they reformed. And you will see this throughout the church. Those who are cowardly, right, in places of authority, whether in church or seminary, schools or what, their theology follows neo-orthodoxy. You can see that. Tim Keller, right, he's effeminate. John Piper, effeminate. All of that, they have this leaning toward the heresy of neo-orthodoxy. And it's a real danger, because they pretend to be reformed, but they're liberal. That's a serious danger. They often quote Luther and Calvin and other reformed authors as if they're saying the same thing, and they are not. I see this even in professors at Westminster Seminary. They quote neo-orthodox authors. They quote and treat Karl Barth as if he's one of the greatest reformed theologians in the history of the church, and he's a heretic. They're too stupid. Neo-Orthodox teachers pretend that they have a higher intellectual knowledge of divine things, that they are adapting Reformed theology with modern science, modern biblical criticism, the modern world, but in many ways they're just like the Gnostics of the ancient church. These Neo-Orthodox heretics, they don't even believe Moses wrote the Pentateuch. They don't believe the authority and the historicity of the Psalms, of Christ's resurrection. They don't believe in hell. Most importantly, they don't believe in the atonement. They don't believe the gospel. They look with scorn at Scripture, the plain teaching of Scripture. And hear how you know I know neo-orthodox. They look at scorn with scorn at the Puritans. Anybody who looks at it with scorn on the Puritans and quotes C.S. Lewis, I know he's a heretic.
And Christians should know that too. All of these new Orthodox heretics were academics. None of them pastors. None of them reformers. They were all drinkers, smokers. And they all were very sinful and ungodly in their lifestyles. I don't think any of them all were married and had a family. They all capitulated to modern and heretical views of liberal theology, social democratic politics, and they were all subversive and antinomian in their views of the Christian life. None of them had a strong opinion about the law of God. None. They were antinomian. Matter of fact, if I told you stories of their life, you'd think, wow, why would anything think that they're Christians? Even C.S. Lewis. Why would anybody think that they were Christian at all? Now, it's important to remember this because throughout Scripture, all the way from the Old Testament, the prophets, Jesus and the apostles, the Bible repeatedly warns us of the danger of false teachers. Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Beloved, those who quote them as if they are sound in doctrine and of authority in the church, they should be rebuked. If not after the first and second admonition, excommunicated. I don't trust any pastor that quotes C.S. Lewis. And Christians shouldn't either. You shouldn't trust anybody that quotes Karl Barth, Reinhold Niebuhr, or C.S. Lewis as if they are Christian apologists. Listen to what Calvin wrote. If we're to know the names of false teachers, it is that we may remember God's wrath and judgment against them, to be warned of the danger of perverting the gospel and misrepresenting the word of God. So Moses names Jannes and Jambres. Luke names Simon the magician, Simon Magus. Paul names Hymenaeus, who denied the resurrection. Now, these are all put on record that we might fear God and keep to his word and doctrine, as well as abhor the lies and treachery of deceitful men who corrupt the word of God. That's why I named them. Barth, Niebuhr, Bultmann, C.S. Lewis, many more. They're widespread throughout the evangelical world today in seminaries. Neo-Orthodoxy is heresy. That brings us to the nexus of liberalism. As I said, Neo-Orthodoxy straddles two opinions. That of classical 19th century liberal theology and mainline Protestantism, broad evangelicalism. Now, they do have different views and degrees of heresy. Certainly, Rudolf Bultmann is closer to liberal theology, while C.S. Lewis, in some respects, tries to ingratiate himself at times with the broad evangelicals in the Anglican Church. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, right? The fact of the matter is, and evangelicals don't even understand this, most of them didn't like him at all. Most of the Anglicans in the Church of England didn't like C.S. Lewis, and Martin Lloyd-Jones knew him to be a heretic. What are Reformed pastors doing today? But this is, in fact, the same with James Comey and his wife and family. Comey accommodates himself, right? Just like a neo-Orthodox heretic. He says to some people that he's a committed Protestant and Republican. And then to others, he says that he's really a liberal and a Democrat. This is partly because of his wife, Patrice. She's a complete feminist pro-Hillary liberal. Comey says he's an established Republican, but he married a liberal. Just as C.S. Lewis married himself, Joy Davidman, a communist and a feminist liberal from Columbia University. This is neo-orthodoxy. To some, they'll say, oh, we're reformed. And then to the liberals, oh, no, we're really liberal. It's very obvious. Niebuhr taught at Union Seminary, Yale Divinity School, and all of the bastions of neo-orthodoxy. They have no friendships, no association, no communion with reformed teaching. They scorn them. They hate them. Right? That's why Machen left Princeton to found Westminster, because it was not just liberal, but it was a bastion of neo-orthodoxy. This is why neo-orthodoxy nearly always slides away from anything close to Scripture and degenerates into liberalism. Most scholars in the last generation that were neo-orthodox eventually turned liberal. Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruits. Think of that. You'll know them by their fruits. Well, you saw it in C.S. Lewis, right? His works as well as his wife. Look at Comey. He married a pro-Hillary liberal feminist. It's kind of obvious, right? Look at Case with Comey as well as Andrew McCabe. Thousands of others who studied law, politics, and theology from the 1930s to the present, neo-orthodoxy always slides and compromises with liberalism. This is why the Democrat Party is demonic today and why establishment Republicans are often so corrupt and ungodly and easily side with liberal Democrats. Because they have no principle. It's the nexus and snare of liberalism. Neo-orthodoxy is a manifest evil. Now, interesting enough, in 2013, on his nomination to be the FBI director under Obama, Comey, in fact, stated that nearly all he is and has done in his adult life was due to the great fortune of marrying his wife, Patrice. Look at that. Now, that might be flattery, but it also tells you a whole lot about his life and theology. Everything. You know, one time it was Reinhold Niebuhr. Well, now it's his liberal wife. Patrice is a feminist and a vigorous supporter of Hillary. I mean, can anybody not see the influence that had on Comey and his treatment of crooked Hillary and the whole criminal indictment on her? Everything that I said before on crooked Hillary Clinton as the high priestess of the demonic cult of the Liberal Party in many ways can apply to Comey. Because neo-orthodoxy is always just one step away from liberal theology. Think of the extraordinary parallels between Comey and Hillary and their response to losing to Trump and getting fired. You know, Jesse Waters, on his show Waters World on Fox, actually had a brilliant expose in comparing the two. He didn't even see, though, the religious doctrine behind it. But notice, both involved in corruption, both lost to Trump, won an election, the other fired, both are trafficking a book for money because of their defeat. Both are on a media tour defending themselves and excusing their criminal conduct and incompetence. Both are trying a little reputation rehab out of personal vanity. Both are claiming to be victims of President Trump. Both are under the delusion that they've been mistreated. Both are heavily relying on excuse making and blame shifting in order to cloak their hypocrisy and to try to escape criminal prosecution through the media. They're in danger of criminal prosecution, and what do? They go to the liberal media to try to shield their corruption and indictment. Beloved, this is the heresy of neo-orthodoxy, as well as the diabolical evil and false religion of modern liberalism. They are both entirely anti-Christian. I see this even in C.S. Lewis and Karl Barth and Reinhold Niebuhr. The hypocrisy of going to the media, the liberal media, as they often did in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Oh, we're Christian. We're teaching the same thing as evangelicals, but we're more sophisticated. Right? We don't necessarily keep to the Bible. We believe in modern criticism. We believe in evolution. We believe in adapting the religious doctrine of the Bible to modern needs. There's no difference. There are striking parallels to all the neo-orthodox and their media blitz promoting their false theology and everything that you see in crooked Hillary Clinton and James Comey. Very similar to liberalism. What Comey's doing is just easily slides. Comey easily can fall into the conspiracy of Obama and allow crooked Hillary to skate off from criminal prosecution. Why? Modern liberalism has a great influence upon American society, upon the culture, and upon churches. It's very influential today. You can see it in the widespread influence of the Democrat Party in America. But for the most part, if anyone professes to be a Christian and is a Democrat, you can be assured they are liberal. They are completely and totally liberal. Now, this alone should tell you that the movement is not only corrupt and heretical, but very dangerous and destructive to the church. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap for themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Myths. That is why Boltman talks about Jesus Christ in mythology.
That is why Karl Barth talks about the dialectic of doctrine, and that is why C.S. Lewis says that Christ is like Aslan, the great myth. What's that stupid land that he's in Chronicles of Narnia? I hate that. It is so ungodly, as if Christ is the great myth. Thomas Goodwin said it is the strategy of the devil to disfigure the truth by false doctrine in order to promote the worship of a false god. Heresy, surely, is the forerunner of idolatry. You know, one of the best refutations of liberal theology can be found, of course, in Gresham Machen's classic work entitled Christianity and Liberalism. In fact, a lot of it applies to neo-orthodoxy. Really. Machen writes this. He says, an examination of the teachings of liberalism in comparison with those of the gospel will show that at every point the two are in direct opposition. For liberalism is not the Christianity of the New Testament. It is a false religion entirely subversive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Liberal theology, though, does have a certain monolithic tendency in that it perverts the fundamental doctrines of Scripture. And for this reason, neo-orthodoxy is often just classical liberal theology masquerading as a softer and more ironic form of Christian doctrine. Because this is how the devil works. Nobody wants to hear the classical liberal garbage of the Democrats. Oh, but establishment Republicans and many that go to church, they don't mind the more softer heresy known as neo-orthodoxy. But they're very related. Liberals and neo-orthodox alike do not believe in the inerrancy and authority of Scripture. They look at the Bible as being a record of man's religious thought, not as the inspired word of God. So they have a liberal view of Scripture. It's purely a human book, full of errors and contradictions, moral absurdities and myths. Its usefulness consists in its portrayal of people in whose lives God once worked through. And so they don't believe it's inspired, but inspiring. According to orthodoxy, right? Inspiration is what God does to the Bible. Whereas according to liberalism and neo-orthodoxy, inspiration is what the Bible does to us. It gives us inspiration. They use the word in a totally different sense that the Bible uses. And so the principle of accommodation is paramount to liberals and the neo-orthodox. They don't really care what the Bible teaches. They can misrepresent it in a thousand ways. They don't believe in Genesis 1, 2, or 3. They don't believe in creation. They don't believe in a literal historical Adam. They don't believe a fall and original sin and moral depravity. No. They universally reject both. Liberals and neo-orthodox reject the biblical doctrine of creation and adhere to some form of evolutionary naturalism. This is growing widespread in the seminaries. Look, you can Fuller Seminary, Princeton Seminary, you know, some even Reformed seminaries are starting to adopt this garbage. Liberals and neo-orthodox always place a high emphasis on human reason, empirical science, and biblical criticism. And so they downgrade doctrine. They downgrade all aspect of divine truth, divine revelation, and confessions. Liberals and neo-orthodox alike, therefore, often misrepresent the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. I go, liberals are total heretics. You get Unitarians and all that. Let me tell you, the Trinitarian views of Karl Barth, Reinhold Niebuhr, or C.S. Lewis are not biblical. They're not biblical at all. They're skewed in very ways. Where is the lordship of Jesus Christ at all in C.S. Lewis? What, in Aslan? That's a joke. C.S. Lewis did not believe in the lordship of Christ and his sovereign claim over life and politics and society, over your life. Look at his life. He didn't care about the church. He didn't care about the gospel. He didn't care about even being married in the context of the ordinances of God. Oh, he's rebellious and completely rebellious to Christ and his lordship. I don't know why pastors and Christians can't see through the hypocrisy. Liberals and neo-orthodox alike reject the Bible's testimony with regard to the fall of man, original sin, and total depravity. Now, certainly liberals have this belief in the essential goodness of human nature and the perfectibility of man.
But the neo-Orthodox, they're not too far from the same. They often make sin out to be a social evil. Like Reinhold Niebuhr's book, Moral Man and Immoral Society. And so they see all of the evils in the nation, in the world, largely an issue of what? Institution. It's not original sin. It's not depravity. It's not personal responsibility and rebellion against God. It's what? It's institutional evil. That's why Comey was such a hypocrite and so evil and diabolical and did basically nothing while he was the head of the FBI. Think of it. Their views are entirely contradictory to the Word of God, to history, the Reformed confessions, as well as common sense. Liberals and neo-Orthodox alike allow sinners, criminals, and the ungodly to blame the institution, to blame society, and not their own personal accountability, their own sin. That is a manifest evil in the church and in the world. Liberals and neo-Orthodox alike, as I said, deny Christ's essential deity and substitutional atonement. Liberals don't believe the gospel. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. The neo-Orthodox, they misrepresent it in cleverly designed ways. They believe a false Christ. The neo-Orthodox theology actually teaches that in the Old Testament, that's the history of the Jews. There's no testimony of Christ. There is no representation of his sacrifice, his suffering, his lordship, his kingship, obedience to the law. They teach more that he's a good moral teacher who preached tolerance, salvation. They completely misrepresent the Bible testimony of Christ. And then many of them, of course, will say, oh, Christ is the only way of salvation. But there is a Christ spirit in the universal, all the religions of the world, that there is a salvation through him. So there's a lot of talk about predestination, but it's not what the Reformers teaching. There is a talk about salvation in Christ, redemption from sin, but it's not the same thing that the Bible teaches. Not at all. It's a myth. It's a dialectic. None of the neo-Orthodox writers, Barth, Niebuhr, right? C.S. Lewis, Martin Luther King Jr., none of them believed in the substitutionary nature of Christ's atonement. They didn't believe that Christ died to satisfy God's wrath to pay the penalty for sin. Not at all. They didn't believe that. Matter of fact, they all detested it. They hated it. And so they completely perverted the gospel. They deny that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. No. Liberals and neo-Orthodox alike think that man is saved by basically understanding Christianity. You read it. It's not about faith and repentance in Christ and taking up the cross and following. They don't say it. It's about Christianity. That's why you see in the C.S. Lewis book, mere Christianity. Let me tell you, mere Christianity is not Christianity. It is not. Jesus says, unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me and repent of idolatry and false religion, you cannot be my disciple. I believe that includes not just classical liberalism, but neo-orthodoxy, Mormonism, Judaism, and all false religion. That means outside of a conservative, evangelical, or reformed theology, there's no salvation. No, it's a rejection of the gospel. Right? That's why not just liberalism, but neo-orthodoxy is heresy. Because both liberals and neo-orthodox alike deny the abiding validity of the moral law. They don't believe in the Ten Commandments, not in the way that Christians believe. They have no basis, actually, for ethics, moral virtue. They have a very low view of sin, therefore, and are often the greatest promoters of wickedness, idolatry, and evils in the world, including abortion, homosexuality, sexual, political, and secular, political, and social agenda. Right? Liberals are really atheists in disguise, and the neo-Orthodox are false Christians. and they're mostly fundamentally immoral people. I have never met anybody that is neo-orthodox in colleges and seminaries, the business world, or ever, that had any moral integrity at all. No, not at all. Liberals and neo-orthodox alike also deny the reality of the final judgment and the eternal punishment of the wicked. They deny hell. How many times did Jesus speak of judgment and condemnation in hell? Liberals, they deny the resurrection. They do believe in some form of afterlife, right? They believe in some false form of heaven. They're mostly universalists who think that everybody's going to get to heaven. But the neo-orthodox are very much the same. They're universalists. They don't believe in hell. C.S. Lewis didn't believe in hell. Karl Barth didn't believe in hell. Not at all. They believed in annihilationism. And even when they believed that, they didn't have a very sound view of anything that they said about the final state, heaven, hell, judgment, Christ's second coming, because to them, it is not really history. It's a total perversion of the truth of the gospel. You can just see by this cursory overview of their theology, right? Neither neo-orthodoxy nor liberalism, right, is the gospel. Liberalism is not the same as the gospel, and neo-orthodoxy, although is very clever in that, 60, 70, sometimes 80%. There's a lot of stuff that is very cleverly worded and very brilliant things sometimes said. Right? Still heresy. Like I said, 70, 80% wine, 20 to 30% arsenic. This is true of Barth, Niebuhr, C.S. Lewis. And that's the deception. It's a consummate form of deception because they are thieves and liars, and they deceive people by making it seem they're Christian when they're not at all. Let me tell you, in the 50s and the 60s, evangelicals like Carl Henry, the editor of Christianity Today magazine, did not believe that C.S. Lewis or Karl Barth or Niebuhr were Christians. And he wasn't even Reformed. How in the world are Reformed pastors now passing Barth off, passing C.S. Lewis and Niebuhr off as Christians? Evangelicals back then didn't even think so. That's crazy. They're essentially liberal. R.B. Kuyper said modernism or theological liberalism is not another brand of Christianity, but a denial of it. That's the same that we should think of neo-orthodoxy. Listen to what Clarence McCartney said in the 30s. He says, those who preach liberal theology, by whatever name, are thieves and robbers. They rob God of his sovereignty, Jesus of his divinity, the Holy Spirit of his ministry, the scriptures of their authority, the miracles of their credibility, Mary of her virginity, the apostles of their testimony, the church of its history, and the gospel of its truth and veracity. They are heretics. That's it. Final. You have to see that. I mean, neo-orthodoxy is heresy. And that's why they easily compromise with the liberals. That's the third point, the idolatry of compromise. Neo-orthodoxy is evil, and that along with liberalism promotes a compromise with political pluralism in opposition to the law of God. This is why so many establishment Republicans, be they Protestant or Catholic, have a higher regard for liberal democracy than Christian truth and the Ten Commandments. This is why they so often compromise with the ungodly public policies and liberal agenda of the demonic party of the left. This is why there is such opposition in the establishment part of Congress against President Trump's policies right now. How many are in the Senate and Congress that actually are fully, and President Trump is really pretty moderate when you come to a Christian, you know, he does promote Christian values and important draining the swamp and rooting out from Washington a lot of the evil. He's pretty moderate, though. Think about evil, therefore, the establishment is. Right? Right? There's compromise to the demonic party of the left. This is true of James Comey, as hundreds of other establishment Republicans. They straddle the fence. Neo-orthodoxy, mainline Protestantism is much, not much different than liberal theology. There is a religious background to all of this.
Neo-Orthodoxy, along with liberalism, identifies with a liberal spirit. That is the spirit of open-mindedness, tolerance, right? They have a distrust of biblical authority, Puritanism, the claims of divine revelation, and the authority of Scripture over man. So what do? They emphasize often what? The freedom of the individual to criticize and reconstruct traditional beliefs. Right? So there's a more liberal spirit of tolerance. Right? That's why liberals and establishment Republicans speak often of tolerance. That's not biblical. Not for religious doctrine and not for politics. Neo-Orthodoxy, along with liberalism, is interested in promoting ecumenism, the desire for sympathy and tolerance among all religions, leading ultimately to not just political, but religious unity. So they deny that Christ is the only way to salvation, that the Word of God is the infallible rule book for life and justice and godly government. And so they readily accommodate to Islam as well as the other pagan worldviews. That's why establishment Republicans as well as liberal Democrats will talk about the three great religions of the world and talk about religious ecumenism, accommodating. That's a load of heresy and garbage. Neo-Orthodoxy, along with liberalism, also has a profane reverence for modern science and the scientific method. So they try to subject religious authority, the Bible, to empirical verification as well as scientific criticism. Right? And that's why the Neo-Orthodox and establishment Republicans do not believe in the authority of the biblical doctrine of creation. They believe in evolution. They believe in Darwinism. They promote it as public policy. They promote feminism, illegal immigration, and other public policies that are based on social theories that are completely subversive, not only to Scripture, but to truth and justice. It should be common sense that illegal immigration is diabolically evil to the American fabric, politically and economically. But what do? They still promote it. Establishment Republicans. That's why they're against the wall. That's why they're against President Trump's policies. This is because of the whole liberal view to reconstruct Christian belief and politics in the light of modern accommodation, modern knowledge, biblical criticism. Right? They're all evolutionists. They're all feminists. Neo-Orthodoxy, along with liberalism, is also inherently driven by a theological skepticism concerning revelation, Scripture, and the possibility of ever attaining certain knowledge of God and ultimate spiritual and moral reality. All right? Think of that. This is especially, you can see in Neo-Orthodoxy, this dialectic. It's a theology of crisis. The Bible is not the infallible Word of God. It becomes the Word of God in the moment. Right? Now, you can see this in James Comey's unbelievable pathology and struggle with conscience. He's always debating with himself, right? In the media, he's like this agonizing over these moral dilemmas and these issues, and I struggled with this. That's the theology of crisis. That's Bart debating theology. Calvin believed this, Luther believed this. Well, we just really don't know. We can't be sure. There is inherent agnosticism in Neo-Orthodoxy. Right? They don't say, thus says the Lord. They don't believe in the infallibility and inerrancy of Scripture. You can see this in all Neo-Orthodox writers, as well as James Comey. So clear as day. There is an inherent skepticism. There's Comey's constant personal conflict within himself over his decisions, and he's always trying to justify his immoral conduct. Right? One day he says, I don't trust President Trump. He's a liar. And the next day he says, oh, yeah, I lied. But good people lie all the time. How do you have it both ways? This is such hypocrisy. Right? Neo-Orthodoxy, along with liberalism, is also driven by an inherent humanistic optimism. They have a very low view of the nature of sin and of moral virtue. So sin is often construed in terms of society or in people as merely in error or limitation, which education and the example of Jesus can overcome. A lack of socioeconomic and educational opportunity, not a wicked and rebellious heart, is the cause of corruption in society. That's why the title of one of Niebuhr's books is Moral Man and Immoral Society. Right? And that's why Comey can say on national TV that good people can often lie compulsively. They lie under oath. Of course, that is a lie. Right? All liars shall have their part in hell, John says in the book of Revelation. See, there's always this corrupt nature within neo-orthodoxy. Let me tell you, neo-orthodoxy and liberalism are opposed to creeds and confessions. And in their place, they look more upon personal religious experience as the test of truth. So they're not interested in creeds, confessions, except for historical purposes. The neo-orthodox have a value of history. They have a value because of their dialectic of confessions. They talk about the church fathers and the reformers, but not because they believe in divine truth. No, it's more clever. They believe that the reformers have to be balanced out with Schleiermacher and the romantics of the 18th century and the liberals of the 19th century and Strauss and all the ones that, so they kind of blend it together. Oh, it's so detestable. I think of some even Reformed pastors and scholars to do who they write like that. One paragraph they can quote Thomas Goodwin or Jonathan Edwards, and the very next passage they can quote Carl Jung, right? They can quote Barth, Niebuhr, or any other New Orthodox heretic. It's very tragic. So they teach basically a humanizing and modernistic view of the gospel and of the person and work of Jesus Christ. They teach and promote a Jesus that is often divorced from the Bible. And so they modify Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Son of God, the Lord of glory, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the only Savior of the world, the prophet, priest, and king of the church, who suffered and died a substitutionary death on the cross, who rose from the dead in power and glory, is of no interest to them. No, they try to fabricate a Jesus of their own making, using a variety of different forms, and sometimes they are very, very clever. But let me say, they're all opposed to the biblical doctrine of the atonement. And so while C.S. Lewis can write some very clever, you know, works in his book on mere Christianity, or Karl Barth, even in his Church Dogmatics, can write a lot of an interesting truth about Jesus the Savior, they don't mean the same what the Bible teaches. They don't mean the same what the Reformers, the Puritans teach at all. No, they don't. And you can see it writ large in their life. You will know them by their fruits, Jesus says. In neo-orthodoxy and liberalism, there is always this social idealism. The need to promote equality in and among groups and of people, no matter what their claims or their sinful behavior. So they promote feminism, a homosexual agenda, the welfare state, illegal immigration, social programs, civil rights legislation that is subversive to law and order and to the family, often that degenerates into socialism and Marxism, which is often on their political agenda. You can see this in all the neo-Orthodox and really all the liberals. That is why the neo-Orthodox, as well as the liberals, promote feminism. Think of that. The neo-Orthodox, as well as liberals, reject the biblical doctrine of creation, they reject the law of God, and they both promote feminism. Feminism, you can see, is the scourge of the church, the family, and society, and because they both pervert scripture, they both reject male headship in church and society and government, they promote a feminist and egalitarian view of leadership and social order.
Now, I have refuted this often before. But over the last generation, you can see the inroads and evils of feminism throughout the nation. In politics, society, this is the heresy of neo-orthodoxy and of liberalism. And so it's not surprising that James Comey actually said in an interview that the person who taught him the most about leadership was, guess who? His wife. Really? Deputy Attorney General? Director of the FBI? It wasn't Oliver Cromwell. It wasn't George Washington. Right? It wasn't one of the greatest jurists in the history of the world or politics. It was his wife. What a joke. Is that flattery that he says? The great on leadership? Now, a person can say, I love my wife and she's taught me many valuable truths about humility and service and things. But leadership? Leadership is male. Or it's not leadership. So you can see widespread today that heresy. Well, let me tell you, notwithstanding his faults, President Trump would never say such a stupid, profane, and idiotic thing. That the model of leadership is a wife, a woman? No, that's absurd. Hopefully it's Christ. The apostles, the prophets, reformers, or some great magistrate or leader. As a matter of fact, I think President Trump once said that he likes the model of the leadership of Dwight Eisenhower. I think that's fairly noble, right? If it's not George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, the president should say, hey, Dwight Eisenhower, right? Ronald Reagan, hey, okay. It's not Cromwell, it's not John Winthrop, Dwight Eisenhower. It's not a bad... You see the difference? You see the manifold difference? Neo-orthodoxy, just as well as liberalism, is a compromise. They both put no value at all on the law of God or the Ten Commandments as a rule of life or a rule of justice. Right? They do not. And I think you can see that both neo-orthodoxy and liberalism, by their complicity, promote rebellion against God, including blasphemy, idolatry, false religion, murder, abortion, crime, homosexuality, adultery, divorce, free sex, drug use, even occult practices of witchcraft and demonism. The only difference between the neo-orthodox and the outright liberal, in fact, is that neo-orthodox believe that restraint and moral virtue is better for society. But they say that we should never judge another person for their immoral and ungodly behavior. Like, really? In other words, the neo-Orthodox are like the Pharisees, and the liberals are like the Sadducees. That's the difference, right? There is nothing godly about these forms of theology. They are both a theology of idolatry, blasphemy, profanity, immorality, and promiscuity. And the Apostle Jude warns, those who turn from the gospel and the grace of God go to lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God. Neo-Orthodoxy, just as well as liberalism, is entirely anti-Christian. It is a false religion. And that brings us to the conspiracy of the Democrats. You can see this background, how James Comey, an established Republican and avowed supporter of neo-orthodoxy, Reinhold Niebuhr, C.S. Lewis, got easily caught up in the conspiracy of the Obama administration and their corruption. Because what? He's not a Christian. He's not a real Republican. He's not a conservative. He's a coward. And that's why I say coward James Comey. He thought that crooked Hillary Clinton was going to be elected president instead of prosecuting her for all of her crimes, Uranium One, the Clinton Foundation, email scandals, Benghazi cover-up, and many others. He brushed it all under the table out of fear because he wasn't going to keep his position as head of the FBI. His wife was also probably pressuring him with McCabe and his wife that Hillary would win the election, and therefore, you better just fall in with us. Right? You know, you see how evil it is? I really don't believe that Comey did it wholeheartedly, like the others. In fact, I think it's likely that McCabe didn't. He fell in because of his wife, who was a staunch Hillary supporter. And Comey fell in because of his wife being a flaming liberal and Hillary supporter. Notice how cowardly these men are. And yet this is exactly how pastors, professors at seminaries, businessmen, politicians, they're often led, just like Adam was led by Eve to sin, right? To eat the forbidden fruit and fall into the clutches of the devil. They have no backbone, no integrity to lead. Comey is not a model of leadership. It's a failure of leadership, right? Clearly, I mean, there's 100 lessons on the Christian life, manhood, fatherhood, being a godly husband, being a godly leader. He failed them all. He was appointed by Obama as the head of the FBI. He knew everything that was going on in the Obama administration, and he didn't do anything about it. What a coward and a hypocrite. There has never been such disloyalty, such treachery and disservice to the office and the director duty of the director of the FBI, if you think about it. He not only knew about the conspiracy of the Obama administration and all the corruption, the Democrats, he willingly participated in it. To me, actually, it's shocking that he even took the position. A man of integrity? Far from it. Think of it. The Obama administration for 8 years tried to undermine every American institution with all kinds of fraud, corruption, anti-American and anti-Christian criminal behavior. All the public policies that were very diabolical and wicked, contrary to the law of God. The courts, the justice system, the State Department, the IRS, federal bureaucracies, schools, universities, the healthcare system, welfare agencies, hundreds of other government institutions were stacked with liberal fascists set on destroying the nation by fraud, corruption, and criminal behavior. And the head of the FBI did nothing. Think of that. Why didn't he do anything? That's neo-orthodoxy. Now that President Trump and his administration are draining the swamp, they're fighting back against the lies, the fraud, the disinformation, the corruption, and all of the liberal Marxist tactics. And some of the establishment Republicans, Catholic and neo-orthodox and Protestant, are being exposed for what they really are. When the wicked are taken down and thrown out of power and influence, they don't always go away. They like to fight back like a viper, like a rabid dog or a demon from hell. And that is what you see, the whole thing going on, the whole criminal investigation, the false Russian collusion story, everything with the Clinton Foundation, the fraud, the corruption of the FBI, the DOJ under the Obama administration, their cover-up of the Clintons and their criminal conduct. It's fully documented on our email. But it was allowed to be destroyed. The evidence destroyed. Are you kidding me? McCabe and Comey allowed all the Blackberries, the computers to be destroyed? Is that insane? Is that not obstruction of justice? They all should be going to jail. But this was all a ploy of the Obama administration, and is far more wicked than Watergate. This is the worst thing that has ever happened in the history of the United States. Right? The Democratic Party has been for years a criminal organization that deals with lies, deceit, fraud, corruption, thievery, disinformation, propaganda, and sometimes even murder. I have no doubt Seth Rich was murdered by the Democrats. I have no doubt. Democrats are not only the party of atheism, secularism, abortion, homosexual agenda, feminism, global warming, paganism, illegal immigration, and the abominations of Hollywood. They are the most clear and present danger to America, to our national security, as well as to the church and all civil liberty. And Christians need to see that. The greatest danger is not Russia. The greatest danger is not China. It's not North Korea. The greatest danger to America are liberal Democrats and the establishment Republicans who side with them because they're cowards. Psalm 12, verse 8 says, "The wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted." That's why the Obama administration and all those involved, including Comey, should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Otherwise, they could get worse. It could get worse in the future. The Trump collusion story is a conspiracy of fools and reprobates concocted by Obama and crooked Hillary Clinton. False dossier promoted by the liberal media, CNN, the holdovers of the deep state, anti-Christian sycophants, all throughout the Obama administration. And everybody should see now
that the only criminal form of collusion and conspiracy that was concocted at all was, of course, the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton, all their cronies. The Russian bought and paid for dossier, the false FISA warrant, clear evidence of conspiracy, election fraud, corruption. It may take a time, but the inspector general ought to bring an indictment on all of these criminals. The widespread corruption that's been going on for the 8 years of the Obama administration, this is why it was so essential, so important for President Trump to win. Because the wicked had to be brought down in judgment and their wickedness exposed. And some evangelicals and some even Reformed pastors didn't even see this. They do not have the scriptural and spiritual discernment to see how diabolical and evil not just the Democrat Party is, but the establishment Republicans who are engrossed in neo-Orthodox heresy, like James Comey. Because there are more. But now all the lies, the deceit, the fraud, corruption, all the wickedness is being exposed. You know, it should be very, very, it's a great delight to see the never-Trumpers, the establishment Republicans now, as well as the Democrats squirm. And all their lies, how ridiculous. Now they're filing a lawsuit against Russia, against President Trump, against Wikipedia, to cloak their deceit, lies, corruption, hypocrisy. That's what ungodly people do. Just frivolous lawsuits to cloak their hypocrisy. But now most of them are going to be exposed for the corruption and the criminal conduct. And sadly, Comey was too much of a coward to stop them. He was too much beholden, I believe, to his liberal wife, who was a feminist activist, a crooked Hillary sycophant, and he fell in with all of the liberal Democrats. You know, what's interesting is President Trump should have fired Comey immediately on the day of the inauguration just because his wife and his daughters were at the same time protesting against him. Can you imagine how evil, what a lack of leadership and integrity that is? Your whole family, a bunch of liberal, feminist, godless activists protesting the president? You're the head of the FBI. Why? I fired him the very day he got into office. And now what's funny is Comey is getting what he deserves. He's getting what he deserves. And he's hated by both sides. He's hated by the Democrats. He's hated by the Republicans. And I find that very insightful. I find that very insightful. Thomas Watson said this: religious hypocrites and those who are pretenders to godliness are often hated by men on all sides. The wicked hate the hypocrite because he's self-righteous and pretends to be a Christian, while God and all the righteous hate him because he often sides with the wicked, for he is not a Christian. That's Comey! And that's a lot of others who are neo-Orthodox and establishment Republicans. The Democrats don't like them because they pretend to be Christian, and the righteous and the Christian don't like them because they are not Christian. They often side with the wicked. That's a lesson. That is a very solemn lesson that we should take in. Well, there's a lot that I have here, and I'll get on to the corruption of the government and the FBI. Let's talk briefly about the corruption of the government and the FBI under Comey. John Knox said, "False religion and religious hypocrites are often easily detected, as they are both antinomian, and they tend toward rebellion against God and his commandments." That's a very simple truth that you should see in all pastors, teachers, magistrates. Those who are against the law of God, those that are antinomian, well, they're false teachers. They're heretics. And think about that as it relates to government. Think about that as it relates to the FBI. Because the FBI is the Domestic Intelligence and Security Service of the United States. It's principal federal law enforcement agency. Operating under the jurisdiction of the Department of Justice, the FBI is also a member of the U.S. intelligence community, and therefore reports to both the Attorney General and the Director of National Intelligence. They're under the DOJ, the Department of Justice, right? A leading U.S. counterterrorism, counterintelligence, and criminal investigative organization, the FBI, therefore, has jurisdiction over violations of more than 200 categories of federal crimes. Crimes against what? The law.
crimes against the law. What law? Should be against the law of God. Now, you would think that the head of the FBI would therefore have a higher level of integrity and obedience to the law, as well as an interest in protecting what? National security. The FBI should certainly have a higher loyalty, a higher loyalty to God, to the rule of his law and commandments and obedience to that. But sadly, as politics in America becomes liberal and corrupt, so does the FBI and many other national institutions. It's shocking, therefore, to see on courts, the Supreme Court, the DOJ, the FBI, people that don't even believe in God and the law. Right? Did you know that the motto of the FBI is fidelity, bravery, and integrity? FBI. I don't see any of that in Comey and his actions. No fidelity, no bravery, no integrity. Did you know that Comey's favorite Bible verse, ironically, and one that is written all over the FBI and other institutions of America, is Amos 5:24. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Can you imagine that? Justice? Righteousness? Well, many of them don't even understand what that is. That was in every way corrupted by Comey and the FBI, as well as the whole Obama administration. They perverted justice. In Isaiah 59, verse 13 through 15, the prophet Isaiah says, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. So truth fails and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice. Let me tell you, there was no law, justice, and righteousness during the Obama administration. It was a perversion of justice. Think of how corrupt and ungodly and anti-Christian the Obama administration was for 8 years. And James Comey made no protest whatsoever over any of Obama's ungodly anti-Christian policies or his criminal conduct. No. There's no integrity. There's no leadership. There's no higher loyalty to God or truth. The law of God and every principle of Christian doctrine universally and categorically condemns the liberal and demonic agenda of the Obama administration that Comey served under. If he had any integrity or any higher loyalty to God, he would have done something about it. Where was Comey? Where was his higher loyalty in the Obama administration? Right? There's no loyalty to what? The false God, false religion. Obama's political policies were entirely destructive to law and order as well as to the nation. They were anti-American and anti-Christian in every possible way. His cultural policies were atheistic and promoted a lifestyle of sin, debauchery, and homosexuality. Abortion. His economic policies were communist and designed to destroy the American middle class. How much? $10 trillion in added debt. His social policies were feminist and subversive. They worked to destroy the Christian family and all values. His educational policies were atheist and communist. How many college students now ran up unbelievable debt to go to these ungodly, profane universities to learn what? Propaganda. Liberal and ungodly, all of it was designed to promote socialist unions, evolutionary paganism, the priestcraft of public schools, and that tended to undermine all Christian truth, all justice, honor, and values. The liberal agenda of the Obama administration was godless and demonic, and James Comey was a chief participator, being the head of the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation. Think of that. Think of all the lies, the scandals, the corruption, the policy initiatives, all the evidence that demonstrates Comey's cowardice and hypocrisy and complicity in Obama's agenda. Because remember Jesus' words, you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. Does a Christian who loves justice and law and order and integrity, righteousness, promote all that Obama did? No way. But opposes it. Matthew Henry rightly said, the worst crimes and evils in the world are always perpetrated by the most depraved and irreligious of men, those who are given over to atheism or to false religion. Whether it's liberalism
or neo-orthodoxy, they're given over to the most worst crimes and evil. They may not directly promote them, but they tolerate them and they allow them to spread. Think of $10 trillion added to the national debt. Massive increase of government bureaucracy, regulation, taxes, fees, tyranny and statism, crony capitalism, widespread fraud and corruption in the healthcare industry because of Obamacare, massive fraud and deceit, the GSA scandal, the Obama war on women and the promotion of homosexuality, moral depravity, abortion, the attack on the First Amendment and religious liberty, the fast and furious scandal and the attempt to undermine the Second Amendment, the promotion of leftist ideology and evolutionary paganism in education, policy and initiatives, international treaties designed to strip America of its authority, parents of their authority, and give Iran power. Are you kidding? The Iran deal that gives Iran a pathway to nuclear arsenal as well as billions of dollars in cash. A foreign policy that was pro-Islamic that inflamed outrage and nearly 4 million people dead in the Middle East. The destructive influence of ISIS. Massive increases in gas prices and groceries, economic and foreign policy, hostile attitude toward business, the degradation of American exceptionalism. Think of all the debacles, the murder, the scandals, the deceit. There is enough to indict the Obama administration on 100 crimes and conspiracies. Right? Where was James Comey? Right? But during the Obama administration, as I said, over 4 million people lost their lives as a direct result of his liberal public policies. Ezekiel 22, verse 25 says, "There is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured lives. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in the midst of her. And those who have done such are evil." They're evil. How many people died in the Middle East because of the Syrian war, the rampage of ISIS that was left unchecked by the Obama administration? How many died? Over 500,000 people died from the opiate epidemic. 100,000 died as a result of the drug cartels, murders, overdoses, MS-13. Over 50,000 more abortions every year were committed, murdered children. And yet James Comey says nothing. He says he's a pro-life Republican, devoted to Christian values. I don't think so. It's estimated that over 30,000 illegal aliens lost their lives trying to cross the border. Many women were raped in the process. Several thousand murders and deaths caused by illegal aliens in America. Over 40,000 premature deaths of American veterans caused directly by the Obama administration's diabolical policies against the military and against the veterans. Taking the money from the veterans and putting over to social welfare programs. Hundreds of homicides committed in Baltimore, in Chicago, inner cities, against police officers that were a direct result of Obama's liberal policies. Where was the FBI and James Comey's leadership then? Where is that? Think of all the sexual abuse and the rape that was common during the Obama administration, widespread in society, in Hollywood, in government, in business, in Wall Street, even, sadly, even in many churches. The Obamas and the Clintons were close friends with Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, and many other of these Hollywood stars and producers involved in the most perverse and wicked predatory acts. And they show no remorse, no repentance at all. They're even trying to cloak their sin and crimes, their wickedness to escape corruption. Where was James Comey, the head of the FBI and the supposed Boy Scout of America during the Obama administration? Where was James Comey? Where is his supposed higher leadership and higher loyalty? Where was it? Non-existent. He's a neo-Orthodox heretic. This is no different when I saw and read all about Bart, Bultmann, Niebuhr, and C.S. Lewis. They're of the same stripe. They are diabolical and evil. Jesus says, "You will know them by their fruits." Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Be discerning. You will know them. You will see them by who they are because of their fruits. These are all the works of the devil. Right? Obama's policies were entirely demonic. and were produced while Comey was head of the FBI, a culture of crime, sexual morality, predatory behavior, moral depravity, death and destruction, opiate overdose, widespread killing through illegal immigration, as well as the Middle East. Where's the head of the FBI? Right? What did he do? Well, I should be clear to everyone that the DOJ and the FBI had nothing to do with justice, had nothing to do with moral leadership and integrity during the Obama administration. And they certainly, therefore, needed to be cleansed of corruption and reformed by strong leadership committed to the law of God and Christian truth. Let me tell you, they should be cleansed out thoroughly. I don't think, and I'm not sure, Jeff Sessions or Christopher Wray are the right guys for the job. Because I'll tell you what, if I was put as the head, I would really do a clean out. I would root it all out. Because if you can imagine what abominable evils, dereliction of duty, happened in the Obama administration that I just listed, where was the DOJ? Where was James Comey? Where is the FBI? Right now, I don't fault the hardworking agents in the FBI. They probably cried their eyes out because they weren't allowed to go after criminals. They weren't allowed to go after Hillary. They weren't allowed to go after Harvey Weinstein. They weren't allowed to go after all these fakes, frauds, criminals, predatory hypocrites. They weren't allowed to. I'm sure. I know some. I've talked to some in the FBI. They hate it. That's why it needs to be cleansed out. That brings us to the downfall of Comey. Goodbye, good riddance. Because the conspiracy is now unraveling before the nation and before our eyes. There is now a criminal referral going to the DOJ to prosecute all the participants involved in the conspiracy that tried to frame President Trump, tried to use the FBI and the FISA court as a weapon in the arsenal of political corruption, tried to cloak Hillary's criminal behavior in order to see her elected. Right? Oh, we really need to pray that they would all come to destruction, if not to prison. Right? Because politics obviously intruded into his decision on the Clinton email scandal and the Uranium One deal. The unverified dossier proffered by Clinton and the DNC. All the corruption of the Clinton Foundation. The obstruction of justice. Their own propaganda and disinformation campaign had direct ties to Russia and its propaganda scheme. That's not just collusion. That's a conspiracy to commit fraud and to overturn the presidential election. Right? All the deep state leftovers provided false information to a FISA court for an illegal warrant as part of a conspiracy to help crooked Hillary win the election and to frame President Trump. They were all involved. Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Lynch, Flowers, Comey, McCabe, many more. That's nothing but a criminal conspiracy, and it's all unraveling against them. Praise the Lord. They need to be held accountable, though. Now, think of this. It is no wonder that President Trump expected loyalty from him and then fired him. I would have fired him the first day. But think of it. President Trump expected loyalty from Comey in opposition to the deceit and hypocrisy, which was what Comey was actually giving him. President Trump was not obstructing justice. He was trying to find out if Comey was part of the conspiracy. Do you see that? Are you going to be loyal to me and to the truth? Or are you following in with the deep state? If you are saying you're an establishment Republican, you're the head of the FBI. Man, I would have been far more serious with Comey if I was the president. I'd say loyalty or get out of here. You're a conspirator. You're a work of the devil. You're not the head of the FBI. You need to be cleansed out of this. That's what he should have been. President Trump was very mild. Really? I don't know what I would have done, but it wasn't just firing him. Absolutely not. President Trump expected loyalty in opposition to Comey's deceit and hypocrisy, right? Trying to run over the election to help Obama and crooked Hillary. And James Comey himself now, former head of the FBI, could and he should be prosecuted with all the conspirators. For what? Lying under oath?
perjuring himself with false statements to Congress, suborning perjury in a criminal case, conspiracy to commit fraud, leaking classified information, obstruction of justice, purposely allowing criminal evidence to be destroyed, election fraud and tampering, using his office for political ends, crimes against national security. Right? Comey said himself, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an overflowing stream. Yep, that's exactly right. Let it come down upon his own head. Just as David says, behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch, which he made. And his trouble shall rest upon his own head. His violent dealings shall come down upon his own crown. Yes, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. I hope and pray that justice does and they all go to prison. That's what they deserve. Prison or death and destruction. That's what we should be praying for now. Once again, God is glorified in the downfall of the wicked. And we should celebrate that. Just as he was glorified in the death and destruction of Pharaoh, of Sisera, of Ahab and Jezebel, of Alexander, of Antiochus Epiphanes, of King Herod, and also of Nero, and all the other tyrants and ungodly magistrates who do not fear the Lord and serve him in truth. Let them, as Scripture says, be destroyed from the face of the earth. Psalm 2, David says, judges, kings, magistrates, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Yes, what we are watching now is the exposing of the highest level of corruption in the history of U.S. politics and the FBI. And it is our solemn duty to cast light and to expose the sin and the darkness. And it all is rooted in what? The heresy of neo-orthodoxy. The Mueller investigation is nothing but a ruse, a mockery, a foolish and wicked stage play. Liberal Democrats and establishment Republicans trying together to subvert the national interest and President Trump's goal of draining the swamp, rooting out corruption, and making America great again. They hate it. Because he's not a part of this corrupt system. He's not a part of these liberal and neo-orthodox hypocrites who feed and make money off the public interest. These people make hundreds of thousands of dollars, pensions in the millions. They need to be rooted out. And because James Comey is at the center of this debacle, the corruption, the head of the FBI, we obviously need to see that there is a theological and religious basis to Comey's decisions, to his lies, to his corruption, his cowardice, and his being an accomplice to the Obama administration, the DNC, and crooked Hillary Clinton. We already know the diabolical evil of liberal theology, but Christians today, even Reformed pastors sometimes, don't even see how evil and diabolical neo-orthodoxy is. Though Comey is a professed establishment Republican, he gave in to the idolatry and wickedness of the Obama administration. He gave in to their anti-Christian policies. He gave in to the conspiracy to exonerate crooked Hillary Clinton. Their fraudulent attempt to turn the election. Although he's the head of the FBI and former deputy attorney general under President Bush. Indeed, ideas have consequences. And false doctrine, whether it's the heresy of neo-orthodoxy or modern liberalism, is a curse upon the church and the nation. I hope we see that today. I hope we see how significant it is when Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. You will know false teaching by their lifestyle, by their politics, by their agenda, by what they promote, by their disobedience to the law, by their lack of integrity, by their hypocrisy, and all that comes out. You should see that. Christians should see that. Right? And therefore, the final point is the warning to America. Let this be a warning to the nation as well as to the churches. Neo-orthodoxy is heresy. Just as Roman Catholicism is heresy, just as liberalism is heresy, neo-orthodoxy is heresy. And I think it is clear as day that many establishment Republicans fall into the same evil. unprincipled, and therefore dangerous in their politics and life, and will easily be swayed by the liberal and demonic party of the left. That's a serious danger, because their loyalty is not with God. Their loyalty is not with Christ, not with his word, not with his lordship, not with his commandments, not with law and order, not with revival or reformation in America, not with the national interest. The loyalty of neo-orthodoxy is not with conservative evangelicals and certainly not with the Reformed. They're often cowards and hypocrites who will betray the truth and betray the country for lies, deceit, fame, or fortune. Many of them don't care about the nation at all or God's truth. They're self-serving religious and political hypocrites who need to be cleaned out of Washington as cleaned out of the seminaries and the colleges. They're a snare. James Comey, not only a product of Roman Catholicism, he's a product of the heresy of neo-orthodoxy. And therefore, he very easily slid in to the conspiracy and diabolical evil of the Obama administration and crooked Hillary Clinton. Right? Do you want to know then what kind of person C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity produces? Reinhold Niebuhr's Moral Man and Immoral Society, or Karl Barth's Church Dogmatics? Just look at James Comey. That is the influence of neo-orthodoxy. I could give 1,000 other examples and illustrations from politics, seminaries, churches, the business world, all throughout the nation. The heresy of neo-orthodoxy is a lie. It is a snare. It is a work of the devil. And Christians should be warned. The church and the nation, politics, as well as theology, should be warned. The snare, the evil, the danger of neo-orthodoxy. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 7, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Beloved, neo-orthodoxy builds on sand. All of the scholars, the theologians, including James Comey, they built on sand. And they're going to be washed away in the flood of God's wrath and judgment. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and thank you for this solemn warning and exhortation against the evils, the snare, and the danger of neo-orthodoxy, the heresy that has so widespread corrupted the church and the nation today, especially in institutions of higher learning, seminaries, even many pastors, theologians who profess to be evangelical and reformed. We see the great evil of neo-orthodoxy in all the debacle, the conspiracy of the Obama administration and the life of James Comey. We do pray that you would grant him repentance and the knowledge of the truth, that he would come to a saving knowledge of Christ, and that you would bring others that are ensnared by false religion, whether it be liberalism, neo-orthodoxy, Roman Catholicism, or all the many deviant forms of Christianity that are in the world and the nation. We pray that you would show grace and mercy, grant repentance, to those that are bound by false religion who corrupt the word of God, bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ, and for your word, that we would be exalted in the church. We pray your blessing upon us, your blessing upon pastors, Christian leaders, Christians all throughout the nation and the world, to be faithful to your word, faithful to sound doctrine, to be sound in the faith, and to be able to understand and discern the great evils of heresy and false religion, and that these corrupt ideas do have very evil consequences upon the nation, upon the lives of people, on the church, and that are widespread. We pray that you'd give us wisdom and discernment, that we would always be faithful to Christ, his word, and sound doctrine, and built up and established on the truth for the glory and praise of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.